don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
Joining me now is Pastor Joseph Farah, who's given us our daily focus throughout the week. He's been guiding us through the various types of covenants. Today is no different. We're talking about the Royal Covenant. Pastor Farah, good afternoon. Welcome back. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
How are you today?
Well, thank you very much, Pastor. I appreciate you coming through to talk to us. Talk to us about this covenant, the Royal Covenant. It sounds earthly, but I get a feeling it's more than just that. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. Probably before we get to the Royal Covenant, let me be quick. I was thinking through the discussion we had yesterday, and then I just want to put this one thing in perspective, and this is at least for our viewers, so that we can start on a good note. Here is, I think most of the people, are familiar with relationships. So here is a lady, a man comes and says, I want to marry you. Okay. Marriage. Well, this is the plan, but are they married?
No, they're not married. They're planning.
So the intent, the intention begins from there. So whatever the day the husband will be pronounced husband and the woman will be pronounced wife, it is the product of a long process that started way back, courting, ups and downs, and finally, or eventually they get married. Okay, so that is the thought I wanted to put in place when we are talking about the calling, the election of the nation up to the establishment.
Okay.
So this is the beginning, actually. This is the beginning of the Royal Covenant.
Okay.
Beginning of the Royal Covenant, because in this Royal Covenant, or the Davidic Covenant, Abraham is told that through you, all the descendants of the earth, all the families of the earth, will be blessed. So this is the root. So David is going to come from that root. So today there are a lot of readings, and I'm sure if it is possible, we can, for the interests of our listeners, we can just give them the verses, so that maybe in their own time,
Okay. They
can read them.
Okay.
So that for just focus on just one or two. I don't know if that's all right.
That's okay, Mfundisi.
Okay, so the readings our listeners will be reading to is 2 Samuel chapter 7. If they can read the whole chapter, they will have a better appreciation. And also, if they could read 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 11 to 14. 1 Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 11 to 14. And 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, verse 16. Did you get those verses?
We can repeat them right at the end of our conversation so that they can go and read them for themselves after we're done here, Mfundisi.
Okay, so the David promises centers on several key promises. It centers on, especially when we are using 2 Samuel chapter 7 as our guiding, our reading.
Okay.
This covenant centers on several factors that were made to David. Firstly, God reaffirms the promise that he had given about the issue of the land in the first two covenants, the one that was given to Moses and the one that was given to Abraham. So the promise is seen in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10, which reads, and I quote in part, I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own, and no longer will they be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore. This is God says, I'll give them a rest. They will no longer be wandering. They will no longer be moving from place to place, but I will give them a place. So God promises that he will give them the land. They will not be disturbed. And also that David's son will succeed him as king of Israel, and that his son, Solomon, would build the temple. Remember the instruction that was given to Moses in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, that let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. Now, they had a temporal, a makeshift sanctuary. Now that they have settled, now that they have possessed the land, Saul does not build that temple. David comes, he says, okay, we have been having, you know, this makeshift. Why can't we do something that is permanent? And so that prerogative was not given to Solomon. I mean, it was not given to it was not given to David, but instead he was told, your son Solomon is going to build me the temple. Mm. And the reason is that you, David, you have shed a lot of blood. Yeah. And so because your hands are not right, I will not allow you to do that. But your son will actually be able to build me a temple. And so this is the part of the promises. But the most prominent one is the one in verse 13, which is saying, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, meaning the seed that will come from you, he will rule forever. And now this rulership or this leadership, it takes us back to say the ultimate goal is God to have the entire world be blessed because of this seed that comes from Abraham. So these are basically the foundation upon which the royal covenant is developed.
Okay. Okay. So we are told it goes now to Jesus. Is it true?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, because ultimately the seed, actually, when we are talking about this seed, again, it transcends, you know, it goes beyond Abraham. It goes to Adam, whose seed, which will come from the woman, must be able to crush the head of the serpent. And now that is the announcement of the seed that will come, which will be realized. Maybe we can read Matthew 19. Matthew 21, verse 9. It says, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Mm. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Hosanna in the highest. So, by the way, I don't know whether what I'm about to say will bring a little bit of a confusion, but let me just say it anyway. Are you aware in terms of debts? Are you aware in terms of the debts that the Gospel of Mark comes earlier than the Gospel of Matthew?
Okay.
But then the first book we open in the New Testament is not Mark, but it is Matthew.
Yeah.
The reasoning behind that, when those theologians put together to have this canon as we have it today, they looked at because it is one story, they looked at the flow, the cohesion is making sense. So Matthew sits well to be the first book, not the first in terms of being written, but it works as a bridge, a transition from the old promise to the new promise. Matthew shows that now we are living at a time when those promises are now being fulfilled. And nobody pictures it better than Matthew. Why? Because himself was a Jew. Himself was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. So he understood the traditions and the customs and everything that all these prophecies, all these writings, they were pointing to this Messiah, who is also called the Son of David. So the promise that was given in David's house, he was given a house, David's house, David's kingdom, and David's throne, meaning these will be established forever. It is significant to show that the Messiah will come without any shadow of doubt, will come from the line of David, and that he will establish the kingdom that he will reign. And so the covenant is summed up by the words, the house of David. promising a dynasty in the lineage of David.
And this promise, it ends with Jesus, or does it continue to anyone else?
This promise, actually, it is fulfilled. It is, I will not say it ends, but I will say it is fulfilled in Jesus.
Okay.
It is perfected in Jesus. It is actually completed in Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is now coming to establish his reign. And probably somebody can ask to say, but is he, what kind of reign are we talking about? This was the question the disciples had, by the way. They knew to say, okay, the prophecies are pointing to this one. And that is why we had that confusion of, I want to sit on the left, and this one I want to, because they were sure that this kingdom that Jesus has come to introduce, it has actually become to be established. But now this was just a fulfillment of that promise, in that there will be nobody who will come beyond Jesus. So Jesus is the fulfillment.
Yeah.
He's the one who brings to completion the covenant. He is the covenant.
Okay. All right. Final point, Mfundisi, on this royal covenant. What would you like us to remember as we part ways?
I think what is important, let me just probably refer you to the prophecies of Isaiah, chapter 9, 7.
Okay.
The Bible tells us that of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Yeah.
So when Jesus came, he came to introduce that we are now entering into the new age.
Yeah.
And the promise continues. And that promise that is now in the royal covenant is that I am coming again.
All right. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate it. Please pray for us, Mfundisi.
Exactly. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that we've had this beautiful privilege to look back and forth on what you said you will do. And without a shadow of doubt, you have held your end of the bargain. The onus and the burden remains on me and my listener. Are we going to trust these words of the Ancient of Days? My prayer and desire is that the Lord helps me to will and to do his good will, that I may choose him today, so that tomorrow I may rejoice in his kingdom that he has promised to all those who love him, and we will receive that crown of life. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. May you bless us as your children and keep us in the faith. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Joseph Farah, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.